able.
All that
God is able. Great. It's nice to have you in church. Sunday morning service is a great place to get free from demon possession. Whatever's in there, we're going to cast it all out of there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'll make sure when I get on that field today, I'm going to walk around that field and I'm going to say, Lord, anything that is not of you, cast it out of this
place. Praise God.
I'm on the crew today, brother. It's good to have some fun with you. Well, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the 34th Psalm? And I'm going to ask my wife if she will read for us today, and as we follow along and read along as well. And,
Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivers me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut them off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned.
Amen. Let's affirm the word of the Lord. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is the unadulterated,
inspired,
authoritative,
word of God
for my life.
I'll read it slowly.
I'll read it prayerfully.
I will read it
carefully.
I will
abide by its precepts.
I will live by its principles.
And I will stand on its promises.
Declare it.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is able. Look at your other neighbor and say, God is still able. Amen. Some time ago, to be exact, it was October 26, and I shared a message with you entitled That Anointing Comes with Adversity. Anointing comes with adversity, and it was a story about David, how God had called David to be the second king of Israel, and how Saul tormented David. You remember that? He tried numerous times to kill David, and he had to keep escaping, and every time he went someplace, he had to pretend he was a mad person so people wouldn't recognize him. What you may not realize is that all of the Psalms that we have, they come out of the life of one of the writers, David or whoever it may be. And so these are words that David has written to God as praise, and they correlate with a particular chapter in his life. And so if you want to get the full story, or understand the context of the psalm, you would have to go back and read 1 Samuel, start at about chapter 14, all the way to about 22, and you will find this story. And so this psalm is a condensed version, in some sense, of how David felt as he was going through that period of time. So even all of the psalms, if you got even Psalm 23, It comes out of David's life as he's going through a particular difficulty and struggle and trial. So to understand really the foundation of the psalm, you have to go back and understand where it came from in the life of David. And you'll find that again in 1 Samuel, starting with chapter 15 all the way to 22. You'll see this story recorded there. As I was preparing the message, I felt God would have me share with you not on the entire psalm, but just to pick out one verse that I think is key, and I will develop my sermon around that. And that one verse is taken from the 19th verse. The 19th verse says, "A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." Now, I didn't say a righteous man will have. A righteous man may have. Some people may have more than others.
Yes.
But regardless of what you have or how much you have, the text is true, is that a righteous man will run into difficulties.
Yes.
He will have many troubles. But the Lord, his Lord, the Lord does not deliver the ungodly. He delivers the saints. And when you read the psalm, you notice that the saints are those that are alive. Amen? Our saints are not dead saints. And so the Lord delivers them all. And not some, not part way, but all. Now it doesn't say when, but it says he delivers them all. All right? So based on this, we want to share some nuggets. I want to share some nuggets with you from this text. And just to remind you today that God is able.
Amen.
God is able. The God that I serve is able to turn frowns into smiles.
Yes.
The God that I serve is able to turn whimpers of fear into songs of hope.
Yes.
The God that I serve is able to turn deserts into beautiful gardens. The God that I serve is able to take sorrow and turn it into joy. The God that I serve can turn sin into grace.
Yes.
The God that I serve can turn death into life.
Amen.
I believe today that the blind person or any blind person wants to know if God is able, because he or she needs the assurance that there is someone who is watching over them and watching over this world. I believe that every deaf person wants to know if God is able, for he or she recognizes that someone has to hear and respond to the cries of their call. The alcoholic wants to know if God is able, for every sip of every drink is a search to be warmed and be filled by the Holy Spirit of truth in his life, and instead of being filled and warmed by these distilled spirits. Every homeless person wants to know if God is able, because he or she is searching for a shelter to protect them in a time of storms. As we look at our situation today, wherever you may be, you will realize that you and I are no different from some of the people we've just mentioned. You and I need to know today and to be reassured that God is able. And so if you have come today in this house of God with a need to be met, I want you to leave here today believing, Joyce, that God is able. If you're here today because you want to know if you can get out of trouble, I came by to tell you that God is able to get you out of trouble.
Amen.
The language of our text is interesting. The word used here is a universal one, but it says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. I just want to keep telling you that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, many are the struggles, many are the tribulations, many are the difficulties that will come your way, but it doesn't have to stay that way, because God has promised us victory.
Amen.
Recognize that although you love God and he is in your life, you will run into some dark days. There is no doubt about that. Storms will unexpectedly arise. Old problems will bring new problems, which can bring more new problems. Because of these things, the question often asked, is God able? Can God answer my questions? Can God answer my need? Can God establish a relationship with me that gives me the assurance that he'll make a way out of no way? And many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them, deliver him out of them all. the writer of this portion of scripture, as a testimony that comes to us across the sands of time. It is a timely testimony that we need desperately today because of the situation that we find ourselves in, whatever that may be for you and I. It's personal amongst ourselves and amongst God, but you know where you are. David had many afflictions, and like the last time we preached, we said that anointing comes with adversity. Here is David experiencing afflictions that made him and shaped his character and his personality as to who God wanted him to become. This is David, who is, I heard one preacher said, is the only person in the Bible beside Jesus whom we love. We are inspired by Joseph and the challenges and obstacles he overcame to fulfill God's mission for his life. We stand in awe of Moses, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt. We are encouraged by Isaiah, who tells us that the one who was wounded for our transgressions and was bruised for our iniquities. We love Paul, who sat at the feet of Gamaliel and impresses us, and who was a defender of the faith. But with all of these, we love David. We love David because he's the only one who was ever recorded to be known as the man after God's own heart. We love him for that. The writer of these words of our text speaks out of his experience and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. David, you know his historical perspective, became a member of Saul's court. It was his job to play the harp and to cause the evil spirit that God put upon Saul to leave him. Saul received the spirit because of disobedience. Remember, God told him to go into the Amalekites' land and to destroy everything. Saul decided that the king, along with some choice animals, would be saved. And so Brother Samuel had to come and say to Saul that obedience is better than sacrifice. If God tells you to do something, you do it, regardless of what you think. Yes. And so during this time, under God's instruction, Samuel anointed David king over Israel. And during this time, David slays Goliath, coming forth from the battle. And of course, the people came out to meet Saul and David with a tambourine, and the ladies started singing how Saul has slain 1,000, but David has killed 10,000. And the anger and the jealousy rage within Saul, and he has done everything and tried everything to take the life of David. Incidents of Saul's persecuting David, we find numerous of them. I told you about this several weeks ago. Tried to pin David to a wall with a spear, and Saul tried to kill him a second time. He continues to escape and escape and escape, and goes out to a different land, and they recognize him, and he has to pretend that he has leprosy or some sort of disease and act like a crazy man, and he's drooling on his beard, so they think that he's a crazy person. It's not really not who David really is, but he's got to try to disguise himself. And so after all of that, David has the opportunity to kill Saul on several occasions, but he did not take that opportunity. In fact, he let Saul go numerous times. And when all of it was said and done, we have the 34th Psalm of our Bible as a praise and a thanksgiving to Almighty God for what he has done. And the one verse that captured my heart was, "A righteous man may have many troubles." This is the context. David had to run for his life. He had to live in caves. And when God sent people to help them, he sent all the people that were broke and didn't have any money. And that was the people that he was supposed to build this army with. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. And so this morning, I want to say to you that afflictions will come, but God is able.
Yeah.
Afflictions will come, but God is able. Yeah. Afflictions are just a part of life. I want to remind you of that today. Afflictions are just a part of life. Rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. Afflictions are given to the saints so that they can personally testify of the goodness of God, and they can see for themselves God's wonder-working power in their lives. Do I have any witnesses in the house this morning? Afflictions tries the saints in the fire so they can come forth as pure gold. Afflictions can bring us close to God if we don't fight them. Affliction comes as a result of being a Christian. Enemies are used by Satan to become a hindrance to the believer. Affliction can be used by Satan to attempt us to hinder the work that Christ has called us to fulfill. However, my friends, greater is He that is in me and in you than he that is in the world. If he chooses for you to go through what he chooses for you to go through, then I came by today to tell you to go through it with godliness. If he chooses for you to go through whatever you're going through, go through it with Christ-likeness. Go through it with your hands held in God's hands. Go through it with decency. Go through with integrity. Go through with your mind made up and fixed on Jesus. Go through with purity. Go through with godly works and good works. Go through in love. Go through in wisdom. Go through with contentedness. Go through by faith. Go through in making a difference in this world. Go through in His light. And go through because God is able. Afflictions will come to the believer. What we notice also, number two, is that not only will afflictions come, but if you are a believer, your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tested. And sometimes we think that God is putting us through some difficulties to punish us. But sometimes he uses afflictions to test the character of our faith and to see how grounded and established we are. I'm reminded of a very familiar story that you know well, where it's a story about the footprints in the sand, and one night a man had a dream, and he dreamt he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and one belonging to the Lord. And when the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the way, there were only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened to be at the lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. And he said, "Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there has only been one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me." The Lord replied, "My son, my precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During those times of trials and suffering, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was I that carried you." Sometimes we see no light at the end of the tunnel, but God is still there. I wish I had a witness today. Here Isaiah 41 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand and my righteousness." I hear Psalm 30 verse 5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." I hear Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And all through the rivers shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. You shall not be scorched by the flames." Romans 8:28 says, "And this we know, that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes." the testing of your faith produce patience. And somebody needs some patience. The testing of your faith gives you staying power. The testing of your faith brings that joy in the morning.
Yes.
Because the darkest hour is just before dawn.
Yes.
The testing of your faith makes your way a little clearer.
Yes.
The testing of your faith make hope look bright. The testing of your faith can help you walk with dignity.
Yes.
The testing of your faith can make you shout hallelujah.
Yes.
On the outside while you're crying buckets of tears on the inside.
Yes.
The testing of your faith tells me that somebody is on your side.
Yes.
The testing of your faith may be rough, but he will make it all right if you would put your hands in God's hands and allow him to lead you. The testing of your faith tells me that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Not only will we have to go through some afflictions like David did, not only is our faith going to be tested, but I love the way the psalm ends in verse 19. I love the way the scripture ends in 19. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord, his Lord, his God, his upholder, his sustainer, his leading post, his mighty warrior, his conquering king, shall, not maybe, shall deliver him from all of them. This tells me that he's going to be tested with afflictions. It tells me that his faith will be tried. But it also tells me that he will be victorious because God is able. And so sometimes when you look at life, don't always look at how it starts, but look at how it finishes. He starts out with afflictions, but he ends with victory. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him all. If God was able to speak and brought this world into being, then whatever you're going through, he is able.
Yes.
If he's able to speak and put the stars into their proper places, then he's able to help you with what you're going through.
Amen.
If God is able to fashion man out of his own image, then he's able to meet your needs. If he's able to take a rib from a woman and make a beautiful creation, a rib from man and make a beautiful creation, then he can meet your needs as well. If God is able to command the morning to appear, and ever since it has not ceased, then he is able. If God is able to number every hair on our head, then he knows all about us, and whatever we're going through, he's able. If God is able to walk on the water, what would he do for us? If he's able to say, peace be still, what would he do for us? Then, because God is able, I want to say that we may go through some difficult times, but Psalm 27:2 says, when my enemies come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and they fall.
Yes.
Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God is able to deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. Then he has promised to deliver us as well.
Yes.
To do exceedingly, abundantly more than we can ask or think or imagine. God is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's able that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He is able. Yes, I believe that God is a little like GE. I work for this company as a corporate chaplain, GE Electrics, out in Nisku. And I go out there and I meet with the employees, and GE makes all kinds of equipment. They make light bulbs, fridges, aircraft parts, and all that kind of stuff. And they're in everything. And I see God like GE. He lights up your path with everything. He's like ibuprofen. He works wonders when your knees can't take the pain no more. I believe he's like a Hallmark card. He cares enough to send you his very best. I believe he's a little bit like Tide. Every time I go downstairs in the laundry room, my wife has got a variety of laundry detergent, all kinds of stuff to get stains out, nothing. God is like that. He gets out the tough stains that nobody else can get out. Yeah, I believe that he's kind of like hairspray. He holds all kinds of weather, no matter what you're going through. I believe he's like Walmart. He's got everything. I believe he's like Scotch tape. Sometimes you can't see him, but you know he's there. Yeah, that's my kind of God. He's a little bit like Duracell battery. Nothing can outlast him. He just keeps going all the time. I believe that God is in because every problem has the potential to become a testimony. I believe God is in because every situation becomes an opportunity for God. Every heartbreak allows me to cast my cares upon him. Every trial has become a testing ground for my faith. Every trouble becomes a proving station for what God wants to do in my life. I need him to be my doctor because I know that he's able. I need him to hold my hands because I know that he's able. I need him to comfort me because I know he's able. I need him to be my rock in a weary land because he is able. I need him to be my friend because I know that he's able to stick closer than a brother. I need him to be my protection when my enemies try to devour me. I need him to be my bread in a starving land. I need him to be my lawyer in a courtroom. Sometimes he's the best defense attorney. I need him to be my joy in times of sadness. Do you know him today? God is able. Yes, if David was here today, I believe he would say to us, God is able. And because God is able, I can walk in victory. Because God is able, I can preach with power. Because God is able, I can sing with conviction. Because God is able, I can pray with relationship to the throne room of heaven. Because he's able, hope, he gives me hope that turns into knowledge. Because he's able, I can leap out in faith and trust him and take him at his word. I can smile when people think I should be sad. I can rejoice when men speak evil against me. I can dance when other people don't want to dance. But I can stand and shout because God is able. And so, like David, I came by to remind you that afflictions will come. Your faith will be tested. But that is not how the story ends. David was elevated as king of Israel. He did mighty things for God. Don't get me wrong. He was not perfect by any means. He had made his share of mistakes. And he has done his share of wrong. But in spite of it all, he was still God's chosen man. Because God is able to transform. God is able to correct. He's able to give us new beginnings. He's able to give us new starts. And today is always a good day to start over with God, regardless of where you are. So God is able. He's able to see you through. He's able to walk with you and talk with you. He's able to make a way out of no way. He's able to turn your situation around because he is a turnaround kind of God. So as we looked at this text today, in this one simple verse, reminds us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. I want to tell you something, New Hope. God does not deliver people who don't know him. And so if you want to experience deliverance of God, you've got to know him. You got to spend time in his word. You got to spend time on your knees. You got to spend time meditating and looking for what God is saying to you and how he's leading and how he's directing you. And when you come to that place where you submit yourself, like we sang, I surrender all. Watch God work situations out that you didn't think were able to be worked out. He's a turnaround kind of God. He's able. He's able. He's able. God is able. God is able. Wherever you are today, God is able. Financially, God is able. Mentally, God is able. Relationally, God is able. You got bitterness? God is able. You got envy? God is able. You got problems? God is able. What the doctor said? God is able.
Yes.
You stand on his word.
Yes.
Many
yes.
are the afflictions
of the righteous.
Of the righteous.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
But
yeah.
the Lord
yes.
delivers them all.
Yes.
All.
Yes.
All. Not some. All. When you have time, go to 1 Samuel, start in 15, and read the rest of David's story and see what God has done for him. And if he can do it for David, he can do it for me, and he can do it for you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers. I serve the delivering God, and I thank him for that. The Lord delivers. Are those on the altar team, if you're here today, I want to ask you to come and stand and come here to have an opportunity to pray with them. Pray with you. Joanna, if you're still here, would you join us on the piano? If you're still here, she's gone. Oh, she's still here, okay. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. There could be someone here today who's never given Jesus Christ an opportunity to be Lord and Savior of their lives. This invitation is for you. It's a call to salvation. Never express a desire to have the Lord be your Savior.
Yes.
This invitation is for you. It's an invitation for salvation. Or maybe you're here today as well and you've got some afflictions. It could be emotional, it could be financial, it could be spiritual. Any other type of affliction, would you give us an opportunity to pray for you so that God would work out his perfect plan in your life? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them. It's a call for salvation, but it's a call to pray for afflictions of various kinds. If you've got a need that we can pray for, we'd love to cover it in prayer. Give God an opportunity. Deliver you from whatever it is that is ailing you. Jesus, I pray that we will develop relationships, meaningful relationships with each other as we interact and fellowship, that this will be a great place for us to start, but it will not end here, Lord. What we do here today will carry over during the week and weeks to come, Father God. So I ask your blessing upon each and every life that is in this sanctuary before me today, Lord Jesus. We ask your blessing upon them for the rest of the week. Meet their needs. Help them to walk in faithful obedience towards you, Lord Jesus. Help them, oh God, to flee from those things that entraps, Lord Jesus, to keep our hearts and minds focused on you, to be the light, to be salt, Lord Jesus, to be an example in all that we do and say. Let Christ-likeness be seen in us, Lord Jesus. So I want to thank you, God. Bless them, go with them, take them safely to their various destinations, and enable us to congregate again, Lord, to another time of fellowshipping, worshiping, and loving and serving you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Bless you and enjoy your Sunday afternoon.